Scripture reading for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter known as 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We begin reading with verse 13. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. The last time that you sat down to eat, hopefully for breakfast, but if not, at least for supper last night, how many different body parts were involved in your eating? We usually don't think about that, we just eat. Probably your feet took you to some place where you had to sit down to eat. Your knees, your hips, your torso all responded. Your arm, your wrist. It's not just your mouth and your tongue and your digestive system, but there are a lot of things that happen with our human bodies when it comes to eating a meal. And it's all done for the one great purpose that serves every one of those members of your body. The body is a fascinating thing. It's an amazing, if you will, machine. Different people with technology and robotics now are trying to just replace a human hand and just to see if they can come up with ways that would respond to all of the different commands that the brain would send down into that hand. And as fascinating as that whole line of work is, and they've made some amazing strides just in my lifetime, at the same time, they're still not there. David said in Psalm 139, I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And isn't that the case? When you just think about your body, we just take it all for granted, but just think about all the functions that you do just in a day, just today, getting up in the morning and coming here and all the stuff that happened. Now, St. Paul uses the picture and the imagery of our physical bodies to teach us a spiritual lesson about how we've been connected to Christ. By the gift of baptism, you and I have been made a member, just like a finger or a wrist, we have been made a member into this larger body of Christ, those who believe and trust in him as their Savior. And in the same way that your physical body inside of your mother had nothing to do with your choice or will or anything, you were just created that way, so it is when it comes to the fact that we've been now made a member of this spiritual body of Christ. Wasn't something we did. God, the Holy Spirit, in the waters of baptism, connected you to Christ and made you part of him, made you realize your sin and come to faith in him, caused your soul to grab onto him as the one who died to pay for everything you've ever done wrong so you could go to heaven someday. This was all done by the Holy Spirit. Listen to Paul's words again. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. And then he says, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. We've been made to drink into one Spirit now. This work that's happened inside of us is because of that. We just sang in the hymn, all our knowledge, sense, and sight lie in deepest darkness shrouded. Till thy Spirit breaks our night with the beams of truth unclouded. Thou alone to God canst win us. Thou, God, thou must work all good within us. So it's been purely by the grace of God worked out in your life in the waters of baptism that you have been connected into this body of Christ and made a member there. And so by that gift now of being part of Christ, you are associated with the greatest powerful thing in the world, and that is the resurrection unto everlasting life that is still to come. And in the same way that your human head and your brain guides and directs every member of your body every time you sit down to eat, so it is with this body as well. Christ, who is the head, guides and directs all of us as members of his church to support one another as we function together in this world. And you have been placed there in that body of Christ, just like your wrist and your toes and your knee and your ears. You have been placed into this body of Christ in a specific place that is there specifically by God's doing and choosing for the overall welfare and benefit of the body, for the overall welfare and benefit of all the Christians in the world. Listen to what Paul says. God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Now that's kind of neat to think, isn't it? That who you are, the particular gifts that you've been given, the abilities that you have, that God wants to be and wants to stir and utilize in you to help fellow Christians, that he specifically put you right there in time, in place, because he has certain things he wants you to accomplish for the body of Christ. That's really amazing. In the same way that your hand is not supposed to rival your foot or your knee, makes us laugh to think of that, likewise, we should not rival each other and be antagonistic toward each other or envious or jealous of each other regarding the different functions that we may perform in the body of Christ. And Paul even uses a little sense of humor. It sounds funny when we read these passages that the ear would say something to the hand and so on. Many years ago, there was a woman, in fact, I think there's a book still in our bookstore that you can find, a woman that was over in Sweden and Norway, that part of the world, and she was probably in her 30s at the time, she happened to come into contact with another very elderly Christian woman who was living out on an isolated island off of Sweden. And just through their little friendship as fellow Christians, they began a letter-writing campaign to each other. And those letters have actually been published a number of years ago. They're fascinating. And you can just see in those letters how even though this woman was isolated and far away from any congregation, I think her pastor came to see her once a year to bring her the Lord's Supper. But even though she was isolated away from everybody, through those letters there is an amazing connection to the body of Christ. And she craved that fellowship and that unity with the body of Christ. St. Paul is telling us that this loving unity that exists in the body of Christ, just like the members of your body all do everything for one purpose, that is something that is an indication, it's a sign to us, an outward sign of the spiritual blessings of being part of Christ. You cannot be a part of Christ's church without having a desire to be with his fellow believers. Moses, even though he was raised in the palace of Pharaoh and had all the advantages of the wealth of the Pharaoh of Egypt, still identified himself with the children of Israel, with the church of God. Joseph, even though by God's doing he rose up through the ranks to be second in command in Egypt, and even though he possessed all of this great wealth, by faith he identified with his family. And ultimately, they had his bones brought back to the promised land to be buried at Shechem. Ruth, a Moabitess who was not part of the family originally of believers, and yet by God's grace was brought into that and became a believer in the promised Messiah. Ruth, even though her husband had died, desired to stay with her mother-in-law Naomi and said to her, "Where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God." There's a really neat passage in the Bible that when it comes to the church, it says this: "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." Isn't that a great passage? We know that we have passed from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive, loving Christ, looking forward to his kingdom, because we love the brethren. We like to be with fellow Christians. We like to worship with them. We like to receive the Lord's Supper with them. We like to pray for them and with them. We like to support one another. When I was a young pastor, there was a gentleman that I was told to go see. I might even have been a vicar at the time. And my bishop said to me, there's a tough old guy you're going to have to go see. He's one of the hardest people in the church I have to visit. But I want you to go visit him. He was a delinquent member, didn't want to come to church at all. And the bishop warned me, said, be prepared for a difficult conversation. And boy, was he right. Just a tough old guy. And no matter how you tried to talk him into coming back to church, he said, I'll come back someday, but just leave me alone, pretty much. And we barely hung on to him as a member. Thought, okay, we'll keep him on our books. Well, one day he suffered a stroke, and he called us and asked us to come visit him. And through that stroke, I think God kind of broke him down. And he realized that his end was near. And suddenly he had this great craving and desire to hear the word of God and to receive the sacrament. And he loved Christ. And every time we'd come to do devotions with him, he would start to cry. He was so grateful. And he asked if other members of the church could come and visit him and see him and witness to him. And he used to tell us, I took this all for granted for so many years. Now when I realize how much I need it, I just crave this. May God give us the gift of faith in our hearts to realize the blessing we have of having been connected to this Savior, to the head that guides and directs us as the body of Christ. And may we understand our place in that larger body of Christ to serve one another, that all of us someday can sit around the feast of salvation and talk about the ways that we helped each other. Amen. Please rise. I invite you to take out your hymn book and turn to page 165 in the front. Page 165. Prayer number 137. We pray. O Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Christ our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those unspeakable joys which you have prepared for those who truly love you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.